Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
All right, welcome back to the show, Money Grows on Trees podcast. My name's Lloyd Ross. This episode is titled, The Three Wealth Philosophies. The Three Wealth Philosophies. And how it came about was that I was thinking about Warren Buffett, as I usually do, and just about the philosophy he has for life. In fact, I was at an event recently in Brisbane, and a friend of mine, David Wood, who was facilitating the event and came to deliver the event for us, which was fantastic. He asked me, hey, Lloyd, can you just jump up and talk a little bit about Warren Buffett and the philosophy he has for life, which I was happy to do. I've been studying Warren Buffett for many, many years, following him closely. Certainly look up to him. He's certainly someone I, take values from, take lessons from, obviously, and try and live parts of his life the same way. Not all of them, of course, but some. And I thought, he's got a great philosophy for life. I forget which particular video I was looking at, but even how he approaches people and how he is with his time and everything like that, I love it. So I thought, what are the philosophies of our money? We have philosophies for health. We have a philosophy of how we approach relationships. We have a philosophy for what we do with our time, how we live our life, where we live our life, and those we hang out with and so forth. We've all got our philosophy of living, right? But when it comes to money, what are your philosophies for your wealth or your money? So these three philosophies, I thought, well, there's got to be a philosophy for investing, of course, which is a lot of my philosophy of taken from Warren Buffett, and he's taken a lot of his from two people. Everybody who knows Warren Buffett knows he's taken a lot from Ben Graham. He took some from Charlie Munger, who was his business partner, who was explaining to him, it's better to buy high quality that can scale over time than buying, very cheap stocks that aren't high quality. So he borrowed a bit from Charlie, but he actually borrows a lot from a guy called Phil Fisher, who wrote a book called Common Stocks and Uncommon Profits, which is largely what Charlie was talking about, where it's ideal to buy a great business and hold it for a long period of time. And if you can buy it for fair value or reasonable price, even better. So anyway, that's a philosophy of investing that Warren Buffett has. So I thought, what are the other philosophies of money? So when you think about it, the philosophies would be, what's your philosophy for managing money, firstly? Second one is, what's your philosophy for making money? And thirdly, what is your philosophy for investing money? These are great questions to ask. So in terms of my own philosophy for managing money, you can go from one end of this yardstick, which is actually thrift, absolute thrift, which comes from Benjamin Franklin, a penny saved is a penny earned and so forth. Warren Buffett's very thrifty, very thrifty. Ben Graham was very thrifty. So he inherited these philosophies from his heroes as well as, other people. And he probably realized it himself too. So it's innate in him. I have borrowed some of that. So I've taken some from my mum, who's got that similar philosophy of thrift and resourcefulness, and then taken some from my dad, which is a bit on the other end of the spectrum. And so I've tried to find my way in the middle somewhere, but I would say I actually lean towards more thrift. I really do like, I'm very, not cautious with spending money, but I like to spend it on things that I obviously find value in, but I'm just very particular with how I'd like to spend money. But at the same time, you'll see me, I'm not Scrooge, and I'm definitely not, I don't have long pockets and short hands, and I'm not tight with money. Like, I'm not like this. So I guess I'm somewhere in the middle, right? And I like what Ramit Sethi talks about in he's got a documentary on Netflix called, I think it's called How to Get Rich, but his book, I'll Teach You to Get Rich, very, very well-known book. He talks about living your rich life. And I agree with some of that philosophy where he's like, well, what's the point in having the money if you can't enjoy elements of it based on what you want? And Alex Hormozi talks about it too. He's like, we love eating out. We love food. So that's our philosophy of where we spend money. And you can obviously tell he doesn't spend it on fashion. That's not his thing, right? So I think I'm the same. I like to save my money. I like to spend my money, and I like to manage it a certain way. Okay. Now we all have a philosophy that's called managing money, by the way. How you save it and how you basically manage it is your money management philosophy. So mine is, I pay myself first. Part of my money management philosophy is I pay myself first. And I learned that from the richest man in Babylon many years ago. Pay myself first. And I'm very particular with that as part of my philosophy. As part of my philosophy is I always look at my statements once a month. So I always do an audit. I'm looking at things. I'm keeping my finger on the pulse, so to speak. But part of the philosophy too is, borrowing from what Ramit Sethi talks about, I also spend money on things that bring joy to myself and others that are not always the smartest ways of building wealth, right? And that's part of the journey of money too. And I don't let money, I manage money to a point that I know it's all good and then I'm not too fussed. I'm not like counting the cents. I'll give my change away. I'm just not, the juice isn't worth the squeeze to nitpick every decimal point for me. That's part of my philosophy of how I manage money. Now, some, as I mentioned, are the only other end of the spectrum. So they've usually got more month at the end of the money. And so these are the ones that go to credit and they just don't let, you know, money get in the way of a good time. And of course, they're always hustling for money and I just don't want to hustle. So I guess that's where my philosophy comes from. And it comes a lot from my mom. I like how resourceful she is with money management. I like that. I like to be diligent. And I think that's my philosophy. And all the people I've seen who are wealthy have some level of diligence when it comes to managing their money. Okay, so pay myself first, look where the money's going, but don't be so pedantic that you lose sight of, you know, the real reason why you have wealth too. You know, don't let a decimal point get in the way of a good time, I would say. So that's my philosophy when it comes to managing money. When it comes to making money, we all have different philosophies there too. So it used to be for me, well, I would get a job and that's how I'd make my money. I'd trade my time for money. And that's a philosophy. That's a philosophy that a lot of people have adopted. But eventually I thought, you know, the philosophy I want to develop is I want to be able to create some value for the world and make money on my own, make money myself and be an entrepreneur. So my philosophy shifted. I probably had that philosophy, but I was indoctrinated into a job scene through university for sure and through school. Without a doubt, I was heavily brainwashed in some respects that I had to do these things. And I would say influenced would be a better word than brainwashed, okay? So, because I always have a choice. And so my philosophy for making money was a job. Then it was entrepreneurship. So it was how I want to get into property and do selling and marketing and so forth. And that was it. That was how I was going to do it, through selling, through sales, a sales-driven money-making career, right? And then beyond that, I thought, you know, the philosophy of making money for me was, well, I have to keep hustling for the next deal, the next deal, the next deal, which could do, but I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have something where I had some predictable level of income coming in where I was still self-employed? And that's when you move from a sales-driven career to a business ownership career where you're actually, obviously you're in charge of the sales still to yourself, but you can hire other salespeople. And so I transitioned into, well, I want to be a business owner. And a business owner has a business and the business produces the income on a fairly consistent basis. And that's how I wanted to make my money. So my philosophy for wealth now is I'm a business owner. And that's just a great philosophy to have, I think, because it's where all the big wealth is made. I think about all the super successful people I know, a lot of them on social media, a lot of them, you know, in books you read, obviously, they've had their own business. And I like that philosophy that I'm in charge of my own money making. And if it's going to be, it's up to me. And I'm not like at the mercy of anyone, so to speak. I'm at the mercy of clients, of course. Like people say, oh, I'm my own boss. I'm like, actually, no, that your clients are your boss. But you know what I mean? Like customers and clients will dictate whether you're going to be good at business because of how you deliver value. And that's why we put business owners who have made a lot of money and had a lot of success over a long period of time on a pedestal, which we should, because they've been able to produce value for other people on a consistent basis. It's a very difficult thing to do. Most businesses fail in the first 5 years, 80%, in fact, statistically. So I think it's commendable when you can have a business and build wealth and have a philosophy of making money that is off your own ingenuity and resourcefulness and hustle and thoughtfulness, right? So my philosophy for making money is being a business owner. That's it. Okay, that's a making money experience. Then the third philosophy, and by the way, you may not have that. If your philosophy is you want to have a job and build a career ladder, that's fine. You just choose your philosophy. And I do have friends who make a lot of money in the mining sector and other areas of banking and so forth. That's great. They make their money that way. I just saw the writing on the wall that if I stayed in a role like that, eventually I'd want to bust out and build a business anyway. So I thought, why wait? And I've even got smarter friends than me who didn't even go to university. Like, why would I wait to build a business and I just go do it now? So that's a philosophy of wealth. And you got to choose the philosophy of how you manage money. You got to choose a philosophy of how you make money. And the final philosophy, the third one, is how do you invest money? This is a big one because there's so many opinions out there about how to deploy money, how to grow your money, and what assets to buy to do that. And I have been heavily influenced by heroes of mine like Warren Buffett, who if Warren Buffett hadn't have given away $35 billion, by the way, in 2008 to philanthropy, he would be by far still the richest man in the world. I don't know if people know that, but he gave away a lot of money back then that he could have compounded. And so I have a huge respect for him. So my philosophies for investing are heavily influenced by him and the books that I've read, and also the mistakes that I've seen people make who are also my heroes. So I went through, I'm a GFC baby, so to speak. So I was crafting the beginnings of my career as a young 20-something year old in the bounds of the global financial crisis, which is the second largest financial catastrophe in history. And so I was influenced by that. So at the time, real estate values were falling by 20, 30, 40, and 50%. All the developers were going broke in town. A lot of people had lost a lot of money, been wiped out by it. And it was a real estate crisis, right? So I was influenced by that. And so my psychology of investing has been impacted by that, which is why I didn't touch real estate. And it's not real estate's fault. It's just how it was bought. So I saw a lot of people buying with debt, and I saw them got wiped out, which also influenced how I managed debt. And so we are influenced. Our philosophy will be built and developed from events that happen to us at different stages of our life, our parents, our heroes, our friends, and so forth. Now, when it comes to an investing philosophy, where it begins is some people have a philosophy that they'll just gamble money and make money. So they'll go to the racetrack, bet on horses, they'll gamble on the pokies. That's their philosophy. Okay, it may not be an effective one, but that's theirs. And my philosophy was, well, based on my experience, I don't want to go into debt and I don't want to buy real estate assets and I don't want to bind myself into a very illiquid asset. That was my choice at the time. And that is also up for change at different times of your life, right? And I thought, well, what am I going to do? What philosophy will I develop? And I didn't want to get a philosophy of trading, like in FX. I didn't want to get a philosophy of buying gold that didn't produce income. I'm certainly, if you follow me for long enough, you know I don't have a philosophy for speculating in crypto assets or crypto coin or Bitcoin and so forth. So my philosophy is well ingrained in investing in stocks. But beyond that, it's not just investing in stocks that's my philosophy. My philosophy is buying undervalued businesses that I understand that within my circle of competence that I can scale, very similar to approach to what I've learned from Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett, Vinish Prabhai, Joel Greenblatt, Phil Fisher, Ben Graham, you name it. I've read the book. So it's my philosophy is based on those leaders in that area because they have done so well with it. It's just a proven philosophy. So I've adopted it. But beyond that, if we go a step further, I'm now toying with a philosophy beyond that, which is intelligent, I feel, which is a Jack Bogle philosophy, which is like, well, why would you bother? You can't spend every waking minute an hour on reading company reports and various other company, industry magazines and so forth, and acquiring knowledge and competing at this level to buy individual stocks. Why wouldn't you just buy the index? So Jack Bogle was the founder of Vanguard, who developed the first index fund in the 1970s. And I like that philosophy too, because it's very intelligent. And Morgan Housel talks about this philosophy in his book, The Psychology of Money, because he's also been influenced by these leaders of industry and investing. Okay. And he also statistically says, he knows too, that 90% of people who invest in an index will beat the professionals. So re-explained, if you invest in a simple index fund, you will beat 90%. You will outperform 90% of professional money managers. That's a fact. That's statistically proven. And because 90% of money managers fail to outperform the market if they're stock picking. And so for the last few years, I've been picking stocks and I've done pretty well actually since I started. But I think I would have done a lot better had I just indexed. And I've said this before on a couple of episodes. So now my philosophy may shift, not yet, but it may shift into I'm just going to index, okay? And that's a fine philosophy too, because in fact, if you listen to a lot of Warren Buffett's interviews at Berkshire Hathaway meetings, he says most people's philosophy when it comes to investing should be buying a simple index fund, a low-cost index fund, and holding it for life. That will compound your money very well. What I like about the philosophy is the fact that it doesn't take effort and it's very diversified and it's scalable and it's tax effective and doesn't take a lot of time and you don't have to make mistakes and buy and sell decisions and so forth. And he even says himself, Warren Buffett says, if I was just a layman investor and I wasn't doing this, I wasn't doing this because he's also very great at it, of course. He said, I'd just buy the index in a heartbeat. In fact, in Warren Buffett's will to his wife Astrid, when he passes, it says, I will have the money and 10% of it will go to bonds and 90% will go to a low-cost index fund. And he says it'll go to the S&P 500 index fund. So there you go. The will to his wife, Warren Buffett's will to his wife is 90% of the money will go to a Vanguard S&P 500 index fund and 10% will go to bonds, to treasury bonds, right? So that's his philosophy for her. So think about what he's developing for her. And now think about yourself. So what is your investing philosophy? And if it's real estate and you're great at that, there's a lot of my friends are into real estate and it's working for them. And they've got a system and it's worked out and that's their philosophy. And that's where they should stay. Some people are in private equity where they buy businesses and then they scale them and then sell them. And I think Alex Hormozi's big into that too. So people are just bonds, own bonds, income. And some invest just in private businesses themselves that they can influence and run. And so your investing philosophy is up to you. But you've got to have a philosophy for each of those parts. A philosophy for managing money, a philosophy for making money, how you're going to make it, and then how you're going to invest it and grow it. So my question to you is, what are your philosophies? Get very clear on what they are. And once you've established them, stay with them for quite a long time. Like it would take me a long time. It's taken me, I suppose about 15 years to potentially transition my investing philosophy slightly. It took me, a few years to maybe 4 or 5 years to shift how I was going to make money in my philosophy. Then it took another 7 before I shifted that philosophy even further. But I don't think I've ever shifted how I manage money as a philosophy. Well, I suppose I did. I had a very poor philosophy for that back in 2008. I was influenced by too many people at the time in Dubai and made all the wrong decisions. But then I shifted my philosophy back to what I knew worked, and I've probably never shifted it since. Perhaps this year a little bit, I've shifted it somewhat in terms of spending more on our businesses than what I normally would to try and scale them, which has been fun. But outside that, I've kept them fairly steady. And what you'll find is when you've got great philosophies, you will keep them fairly steady. They will very rarely change and you'll be known as the person who, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so your identity is built from your philosophies and you can adopt the philosophies from other people. That's how you do it, your own experience, your own thoughts. People who you admire, let them influence you in their philosophies too and be open to it. But at the same time, if you understand things that just don't work and you know that, steer clear of them. And I've spoken about this before, sticking within your circle of competence when it comes to your investing philosophy. All right, well, I hope that you've enjoyed that episode about the three wealth philosophies. So if you enjoyed the episode, share this with a friend, leave us a 5-star review on our Spotify account, Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you're watching the YouTube clip, leave us a sub. My niece is watching these YouTube clips at the moment. She's like, if you love your mum, hit the sub button. Or no, they say, if you don't hit the sub button, you don't love your mum. So there you go. If you don't love your mother, if you love your mum, hit the sub button. I don't know what I'm talking about. So hit the subscribe button in YouTube and leave us a comment. Jump into our free Facebook group and go to lloydstelegram.com to jump into the free Telegram channel each day. I drop a tidbit there of money tips in there. And grab our books. Grab Money Buys Happiness book. Go to moneybuyshappinessbook.com and keep an eye out for our next book, which will launch in the next few months, which is super exciting, called Time Rich. And of course, thanks so much for your attention. Thanks for your 5-star reviews on the show. And thanks for subscribing to the channel. I'll see you guys in the next episode of Money Grows on Trees podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at lloydjross.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram at LloydJamesRoss.